Let's honor the word. Psalm 78 verse 32 reads like this. It says, in spite of this, they still sinned, and they did not believe in his wondrous work. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. When he slew them, they sought him. Then they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and he did not destroy them. Yet many a time he turned his anger away, and he did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered, but they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. And how often they provoked him in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert. And yet again and again, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will speak to our hearts. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to understand that which you have to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated this morning. Well, good morning, everybody. And we're glad that you're here. We are starting a brand new series this morning entitled The Unlimited Realm. The Unlimited Realm. Last month, we finished up taking territory, and we journeyed with the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness, God's deliverance, his plan, his promise for them, and then right into the place where they came into the land of Jericho, crossing over into the land of promise. And so this series is going to kind of piggyback along with that as we look at it in a little bit of a different direction, because what we saw was that God's desire was to lead his people and to be with them and to be their God. You know, I like to say it like this. God wanted to prove himself to the children of Israel. And I believe we serve a God that if we'll let him, he'll prove to us how big of a God he really is. Amen. I believe he will prove to us that he is big as he said he is, and he can do exactly what he said he can do. And so I've entitled this series The Unlimited Realm, because I believe we serve an unlimited God. Does anybody believe we serve an unlimited God? The question is, because in verse 41 of our text that we read this morning in Psalm 78, Psalm of Asaph, here's what verse 41 says. It says, they tempted him again and again, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to read that one more time. It says, yet again and again, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. The question of all questions this morning is this. How do you limit an unlimited God? I want to ask it one more time as I look into your eyes and ask you the question today. How do you limit an unlimited God? This morning, we're going to delve into this particular idea and see what the Bible has to say about limiting an unlimited God. But before, let me tell you a story. A few weeks ago, we had an event on a Saturday out here in the parking lot called our Grill and Chill. Did anybody come to that? That was a good thing. And several people did. It was great. We cooked burgers. We cooked hot dogs. We had street tacos. Man, we were giving kids rides around the parking lot on trains, bounce houses. It was fun time. It was hot, but it was fun. Well, many of our staff got together early, and we had planned and prepared through the week, ordered food, ordered utensils, made sure supplies were good, had volunteers to set up and clean, to tear down, all of that stuff. And so we got here early before the crowd was here and got everything together, got everything set up. And then, of course, we stayed, and many of you guys stayed with us afterward to help us make sure everything was put up. And so anyway, it was quite a weekend. It was quite adventurous, and it was extremely fun. Anytime you can hang out with your church family and develop relationships is a fun time. And so Mr. Greg Willingham wanted to help out our event a little bit because there was a lot of running around from place to place on campus. And so he had a friend let him borrow one of his off-road side-by-side for, you know, off-road kind of vehicles so that we could transport stuff from place to place. Well, I'm a kid at heart, so I volunteered for that job. And I was from here to there and everywhere, and I was bringing plates and bringing hot dog buns and tables and all types of things from place to place to place and giving people rides if they needed them. And it was fun. And so it was great, you know. And, of course, we have a really big property here, over 30-something acres. And I remember I needed to take Greg to his truck. He had to do something. And so I just made a little loop behind the activity building. And I was going to come up, you know, come up front. I was by myself, and I was going to get ready to just come back down where everybody was. And I had this thought, and the thought went something like this. I wonder how fast this thing can really go. I looked down at the speedometer, said like 65, and I'm like, okay, for a car, 65 is not really fast, but you know, you can drive on the interstate for 80, which means 85, by the way, officers, sorry. You know, we have this give an inch, take an extra 5 miles thing going on, but so it doesn't seem like very fast in an automobile, but on one of them things, it's fast. And so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take it right now. And I remembered, I pedaled to the metal all the way down that I could, and I couldn't get it but up to 25. And I said, Greg, what's wrong with this thing? He said, I don't know. Is it in high? I said, yeah, it's in high. I don't know. And then I just got to thinking about it throughout the day. The owner of this machine put a governor on it. I'm sure he probably had grandkids or somebody he didn't want running 65 around the house. And so they put it down to about 25. Well, that's as fast as we could go. But here's what I want to tell you. That machine, when it came out of the factory, did not come with a governor on it. It came ready to run wide open. It came ready to fulfill the purpose which it was created to do, and it was ready to rip and run at its peak performance. But, everybody say but, its owner had a governor put on it. And so at that moment, what you do when you put a governor on a machine is, even though it has a capacity to do this, a governor may say, we're only going to let you go this far and no further. And just like we can limit a truck, an 18-wheeler, an ATV, a four-wheeler, I believe we can put a limit on God. Are you still with me this morning? You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. I'm going to show you from the scripture this morning. I believe that we can limit an unlimited God by the restrictions that we put upon Him. That's what I want us to realize today. We serve an unlimited God. And I don't know about you. I want to take the limits off of what God can do in my life. I want to take the limits off of what God can do in our city. I want to take the limits off of what God can do in our family, in our region. I just want God to show the world how big He is. Amen? Because the world has a lot of problems. They don't have a lot of solutions. But Jesus has the answer to everything. But we have to make sure that we're not limiting the unlimited God. In our text this morning, Psalm 78 was not composed by David. It was composed by Asaph. And the scripture says in Chronicles, it said that Asaph was a descendant of Gershon. He was the son of Levi, so he was affiliated with the tribe of Levites, which are the praisers. And he's also known as one of the three Levites commissioned by David to be in charge of the singing in the house of God. And in Psalm 78, Asaph recollects the events of the wilderness and how God led the children of Israel out with a strong hand and a mighty arm. And he recollects how Moses was frustrated with them and Joshua was frustrated with them, and how the different things happened in their lives on the journey from point A to point B that really caused them to disinherit the promise. See, one of the saddest things to realize in the Bible is that there was a promise to an entire group of people, but yet there were many of them who did not make it into the promised land. And they were buried in another place because they limited God. And I want you to think about that. I don't want anybody in this room to die short of experiencing all that God has for you. I don't want anybody in this room to die short of receiving the promise that God has for your life. Amen? So we're going to look in our text this morning. We're going to see just exactly how God was limited by these people. How do you limit an unlimited God? The very first thing, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Just write a little jot on your table. They limited God by their disobedience. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 of our passage, here's what it says. It said, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law. So I want you to understand that the children of Israel, although they said they were following Him, they really were not following Him. And can I tell you that it does not matter what you say you are doing if your actions don't line up with what you say you are doing. Come on, I have anybody in here this morning? They did not keep the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in His law. So what does that say? They limited God by their disobedience. Then, here's a big one. They limited God, watch this, by their forgetfulness. They limited God by their forgetfulness. Look at verse 11 with me of Psalm 78. It says, they refused to walk in His law, and then the next verse 11 says, and they forgot His works, His wonders that He had shown among them. I want you to see this. And they forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown among them. They limited God by their forgetfulness. Do you know that it is advantageous for you and I to remember the goodness of God? To tell those stories to our children, to our grandchildren, and pass them on from generation to generation, and to often think about the marvelous things that God has done in our lives. We need to keep those in the front and in the focus of who we are. Let me tell you why, because the enemy will tell you about all the bad things in your life and all the things that didn't go right, but you need to remind the devil sometime about how good God is. You need to remind yourself sometimes about how good God is, how He parted the Red Sea, how He fed you in the wilderness, how He healed you and delivered you and set you free. You've got to not forget what God has done. Don't limit God by your forgetfulness. Here's a third one. This one's probably very important. Number three, they limited God by their unbelief. Look at verse 19. Yes, they spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I want you to read that. I want you to read that slowly. And they spoke against God saying, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? In other words, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they looked at the bondage of Egypt, but yet considered the security of Egypt because their food, they had food, even though it wasn't what they wanted to eat. They weren't hungry. They weren't in despair. They had water. They had all of those things, beds to sleep in, graves to be buried in. They had all of that stuff. And then Moses calls them out unto a journey of faith to follow God into the wilderness, to make their way into the promised land. And what do these people do? Time and time again, the ones who saw the plagues, they saw the miracles, they saw the mighty hand of God outstretched for those people. They had the nerve to ask, can God even do that? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Then here's another one. They limited God by their insincerity. Their insincerity. Look at verse 36 and 37. Nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouth, and they lied to Him with their tongue. And next verse says, for their heart was not steadfast with Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. In other words, they tried to sing the songs. They tried to go through the motions. They flattered God with their lips, but yet their hearts were far from Him. You know what? As they were walking in Egypt, I'm sure as they were singing, some of these people, they were singing, praise the Lord, but their heart wasn't in it. They weren't sincere in their prayer. They weren't sincere in their worship, but yet they limited God because of their insincerity. And then here's another one. They limited God by their idolatry. Verse 58. On the screen, here's what it says. And they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their carved images. Here they are in the wilderness. God is trying to help them. He is trying to bless them. He's trying to restore them. He's trying to do great things for them. But yet, even in the middle of the transition, they're going back trying to serve other gods, making golden calves and idols and various things that they would worship with their hands. And all of these things, the Bible says in Psalm 78, the disobedience, the forgetfulness, the unbelief, the insincerity, the idolatry, and I'm sure we could find some more in there. They limited God from doing what He wanted to do in their life. Go back to verse number 41 of our text with me, and let's read it one more time. Verse 41 says, "And yes, again and again they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel." Now this morning, as I begin to think about that, I thought about something. I want to make it vitally clear. In limiting God, it's not so much that they limited His ability to act, but yet they limited their own ability to receive His best. That's why they died in the wilderness. How do you limit an unlimited God? Do you know there's scripture in the Bible? People talk about it all the time. God can do anything. He can. God can do anything. He's God. He's God all by Himself, and He does not need people's permission to be God. But yet, in the Bible, there are certain parameters and spiritual laws and principles that He's put into practice. And yes, man can limit God. You don't believe me? The Gospel of Mark records Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. How many of you believe He was the Son of God in human flesh? He comes to His hometown after coming back from a great healing crusade. He's laying hands on folks. They're getting healed. They're being raised from the dead. All kind of stuff. Leprosy and tumor. I ain't talking about none of this somebody in here has a headache stuff. Out of a crowd of 900 people, yeah, somebody's got a headache or a backache. I'm not discounting that, because if you got a headache or a backache, it's a big deal. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real creative miracles Jesus was doing. Man with the paralytic hand, stroke-like condition, straight like the other one. Blind eyes, open. Deaf ears, open. Demon-possessed, set free. We're talking about big miracles. Jesus comes off of the crusade, and He comes to His hometown. And the Gospel of Mark records that there He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And the Scripture records Jesus had to take a man outside of a certain city to get him healed. Let that mess with your theology. Because God can just doesn't necessarily mean God will. Think about that. These are things we don't like to wrestle with. We don't like to wrestle with the fact that we, in unbelief, can indeed limit God. And that's what happened in the wilderness. They limited Him. They put a lid on Him, if you will, and caused their early demise and not to go into the promised land. This morning, I want to look. I don't want to end on the negative. I want to look at the positive, and I want you to see exactly what God did for them in the wilderness. Are you ready? Let's look at this. Number one, are you ready? The first thing I want to look at this morning is that He had unlimited paths for them. Unlimited paths for them. I want you to see verse number 12 down through verse 16 of Psalm 78. Let's read this together if you want to read it in your Bible. It says, "Marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoah. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through it. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime, He led them with a cloud, with the nighttime, with the light of a fire. He split the rock in the wilderness and gave them to drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." He had unlimited paths for His people. You see, it was a treacherous thing to come out of Egypt and leave Pharaoh and all of his horsemen behind, because as soon as they broke out, here they came with chariots and horses and the hoofbeats in the background coming quickly upon them. And when it looked like they could not make it, what did God do? God split the Red Sea with the staff of Moses and caused the children of Israel to walk right through on dry ground. Friends, I want to tell you something. When you're in a difficult situation and you you don't know how you're going to make it, we serve a God who can make a way where there is no way. He can make a highway in the wilderness and a river in a desert. He's got unlimited paths. Let me tell you how good he was to Israel when they were coming out of the wilderness. They were led by the cloud and the fire. I like to tell everybody it's this way because I've been to the Middle East and in the Sahara part of Africa. It gets really hot and dry during the day and really cold at night. So you know what God did? God gave them a cloud to give them some shade in the daytime, and he gave them a fire to give them some heat at night. He has unlimited paths to be able to help people. He split the rocks out of their way and caused water to come and give thirst for them on their journey. He's a God who has unlimited paths. Here's what I need you to know this morning. He has more than just one way to lead you. His paths are unlimited because we serve an unlimited God. Here's number two. We see the unlimited provision of God. I don't have time to read all of these verses, but I want to highlight some of them here this morning. Psalm 78, some things stuck out to me. Verse 17 says, but they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High God in the wilderness. They tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. They spoke against God, saying, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And so behold, he struck the rock that the water gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also and provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and the anger came up against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna on them to eat. And he gave them the bread of heaven. Men, verse 25, ate angels' food. And he sent them food to the full. Look at verse 26. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and his power he brought in the south wind. And I love this verse right here, verse 27. For he rained meat on them like dust. He rained meat on them like dust. If you've never been in a dust storm in the Middle East, you don't know what you're missing out on. He rained dust, meat on them like dust, and feathered fowl like the sands of the sea. He let them fall in the camp in the midst of them and all around their dwellings. And so they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not depraved of their craving. Yet while their food, listen, yet while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God came against them. Because it wasn't good enough. Here's what I want you to see. Not only does God have unlimited paths to take us on, he has unlimited provision. I imagine there's people in here right now under the sound of my voice, or you're watching online, you're concerned about your job, you're concerned about a contract, you're concerned about a business that you need to get off the ground, and how in the world am I going to make it? Friend, if anything teaches us anything out of this passage in Psalm 78 is that God cares for his own people. He's even merciful to us when we don't deserve mercy. Over and over again, it says that they sinned and they complained, but God still blessed them and helped them. And just like a father does to his children, he helps them. But what we see is that in the middle of the transition of the wilderness to the promised land, God gave them unlimited provision. I want you to think about this. They complained. They said, were there not any graves in Egypt that we could have not died back in that place? They had leeks and they had onions and they had stuff that we could eat there. And they complained against God and was really upset and futile in their minds. And God rained manna down every morning for 6 days. On the seventh day, God ceased and didn't give any manna. On sixth day, he gave a double portion. And he said, you pick up on the sixth day, enough for today and the Sabbath day, and don't try to keep any extra in your pockets and try to hold on, because it'll spoil on you, and that's what happened. But manna came from heaven. The word manna in the Hebrew, it literally means, what is it? Really? Because that's what they called it when they saw it, manna. What is it? Small, little grain-like substance, like a coriander seed. And they picked it up and they gathered it and they made cakes out of it. And God blessed them with it more than was enough. But guess what happened? They got tired of it. They got tired of it. They said, God, we're tired of eating the same old thing every day. Come on, anybody, kids, ever said that? Why do we got to have the same food every day? Why is it always this? Why is it always that? And so, you know, we want meat and we want some sustenance. And they go to complaining and saying, well, can God even do that? And guess what happened? The Bible says that God rained down meat on them like dust in the wilderness. He caused the quail by the eastern and the western wind to come and to drop on the ground. And they were eating the gospel bird all the way back there in the wilderness. Quail and manna, quail and manna. When they got to Marah, the land where the water was bitter, they said, oh, we don't have anything to drink. And God caused the water to be healed and water to be created and flushed out in a gushing form as a fountain from a rock that caused them to be sustained in that place. He gave them some unlimited provision. I want to let you know something. If you ever find yourself going through a difficult time, if you ever find yourself not knowing what you're going to do or how God's going to do it, let me tell you, He's got some unusual ways to bless you. God has unusual ways to bless you. You don't believe me? Just ask the prophet Elijah. Elijah was sent out and he went and he was running from Jezebel and all these different things that were happening in his life. And he told Elijah, he said, I want you to go by the brook Shebar. And there by the brook, the Bible says, ravens fed him morning and night. Morning and night, the ravens came and they deposited the prophet's food. Ravens are dirty birds in Jewish culture. A Jewish man would have never touched a raven or had anything to do with them. You understand the unclean and the clean. You see in Noah's day when the floods were subsiding, he sent out a dove and a raven, a clean bird and an unclean bird out of the windows of the ark. It was a bird that they wouldn't have eaten. But guess what? God caused the unclean birds to bring the man of God some food. Can I submit to you this morning that God's provision to you may not come in a package you recognize? It may not even come in a package that you approve of. But here's what I know. The Bible said He can prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. God can cause your enemies to bless you. And He'll have people bringing stuff to your house that don't even like you. And they'll say, why in the world is this happening? Because He has unlimited provision. And guess what happened? The Bible said there came a day when the brook dried up. And Elijah was like, oh God, what's happening? What are we going to do? Do you know sometimes we get too comfortable with temporary modes of provision? That God has to kill our source to get us to move on sometimes? Because if not, we'll just stay there and pitch a tent and be there forever. He said, no, here's what I want you to do, Elijah. I want to go to a widow woman's house in Zarephath. And there I've commanded her to bless you. And he finds a woman there that is out at the gate of the city picking up sticks because all she has is a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And she's baking a cake for her and her son to die. I want you to think about how arrogant it must have felt for this prophet of God to come up to this woman and say, I know you're about to die, but God said you need to feed me first. It's a lot of Oklahoma people would have cussed that preacher out. I'm just telling you right now. Because when it comes to feeding your kids or a stranger, a lot of people aren't going to go that way. But Elijah had a need and she had a need. And God knew that together, her meeting his need would unlock the seed she needed for her harvest. And guess what happened? By her obedience came her blessing where she had more than enough and room to spare. I'm telling you that when you just trust God, even in the wilderness of life, He has unlimited provision. Here's what I want you to take away. He's got more than just one way to bless you. He's got more than just one way to bless you. People get hung up on my job this, my job that. Can I tell you, your job is not your source. When you look up Jehovah Jireh in the Bible dictionary, your job is not beside it. Your job didn't put breath in your lungs this morning. Your job didn't give you creativity. Your job didn't give you energy. Your job didn't give you anything but an opportunity. Your job is not your source. Your job is simply a resource. And guess what? That thing can blow away in the eastern wind, but God still has more ways to bless you if you trust Him and focus on Him and allow Him to be God in your life. He's got unlimited provision. Number three, I'm closing. He's got unlimited protection. In Egypt, He gave them signs. Verse 40 of Psalm 78 tells us, says how often they provoked Him in the wilderness. And again in the desert, and again they tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power and the day when He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Then verse 43 begins to get into that. Notice what He says, for when He worked His signs in Egypt, He turned and His wonders in the field of Zoan. God, watch this. He turned the rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. Then He says He put swarms of flies around them which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He gave them crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to the hailstorm and their flock to the fiery lightning. He cast on them their fierce anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by the sending of angels of destruction among them. He made a path for His anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. He made His own people go forth like sheep, and He guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Look at verse 53. And He led them on safely so that they did not fear. Do you know that God not only has many ways to lead you, He's got not only does He have many ways to bless you, but He also has many ways to keep you. He has many ways to keep you. Psalm 78, 40 through 55 talks about how God showed out in the middle of the chaos. There was darkness all over the land of Egypt, but the Bible says there was light in Goshen. There were hailstorms that were all around the children of Israel, but they didn't get beat down by them. There were plagues of locusts and flies, and the waters turned to blood in the Nile River. All types of things happened. And guess what? God kept them through the difficulty. He caused the sea to drown their enemies. And He beat the back of their foes. Because we serve an unlimited God who has unlimited ways to protect His people. See, you and I have God on our side, and nothing is too hard for Him. But let's be sure that we don't limit God from what He wants to do in our life by our disobedience, by our forgetfulness, by our unbelief, by our insincerity, and by our idolatry. I don't want to be like the 10 who came back from the promised land after they spied it out and said, "Oh, we can't do that. They look like giants and we're like grasshoppers." I want to be like Joshua and Caleb, who says, "We can do it because we serve the Holy One of Israel. And His match, and His power, and His strength are without boundaries."